In today's episode, we're talking about what I call high value encouragement. This is something that you cannot give it to yourself. You can't say a few affirmations a day and give what this is. You can only get this from others. You can only give this to someone else. We're talking about those high value words and connections that require some risk, some vulnerability, but they change people's lives and they make such a difference. So keep listening, because if you're someone who wants to inspire others, you want to be a part of propelling people forward, this is the episode for you. So keep listening. Hi, you're listening to I Meant to Do That, the podcast that invites you to live and lead authentically. I'm your host, Carrie, and together we'll explore stories and strategies that help you embrace your true self, communicate more effectively, and have time and energy for what matters most. If you ever felt caught in a cycle of overdoing and exhaustion from trying to please others, striving for unattainable perfection, or attempting to do more than humanly possible, hey, I get it, I've been there too. But here's the thing, life becomes more vibrant and fulfilling we break free from that whirlwind, knowing that God designed us for something better. Are you in? Your life is a canvas, and guess what? You hold the brush. Welcome to I Meant to Do That, where authenticity meets action. Hey, hello, welcome. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you all are having a good week, had a great weekend. We're entering that whirlwind time, where there's just too much to do. I don't even want to make a list of the things that I have to get done. And what I have to get done this year is so much less than what I've had to do years prior. So I don't know what my problem is. I'm going to have to kick myself into gear here soon. I feel like maybe what I'm doing is just enjoying that this year is less. And so maybe I'm relishing in it. And so I just haven't felt that push to action. But, you know, really, quite honestly, what it probably is, I don't have enough pressure on myself, because sometimes the thing that motivates me to do the stuff that I don't really enjoy and I don't find inspiring, I need time pressure on me. I need a deadline that's hard and fast. And I have to like go into my miracle mode where I'm just working like a crazy person, and somehow I get it done, and that's exhilarating. I don't know if anyone else out there is like that. Sometimes I do not like time pressure, but sometimes I do like time pressure, so I'm not very consistent with that. Well, I have an episode today for you that came by surprise. I wasn't expecting to do this one. I have a list of other things, but this one is happening. And it came to me without even looking for it. I opened an email. So I opened up an email and I read it, and it hit me in a good way, but it hit me hard. And so I just feel like I got to talk about it. This episode reminds me a little bit of the bonus episode I did a few weeks ago. And I'm publishing this regular. I thought maybe I'll do it as a bonus, but no, I'm just going to put it out there because life is busy and I'm just barely getting out one episode a week right now, to be quite honest. But that one, if you listen to it, it was a kind of a tamed down reaction to a radio program I heard, where I felt like some advice that was really good sounding, it even sounded maybe very Christian-y, or holy, or very righteous, but that good sounding advice was really like a legalism sandwich. So the meat was just legalism, but it had, you know, the good bread on the outside too. So it kind of, you know, you didn't really notice it, but it was just smothered in shame. So if you heard that one that was talking about the guilt on moms on Sunday mornings, you can go and listen to that one. But this one is different though, because I'm not reacting to something that I felt hit me because it was so negative for me and I felt so mad. This time I'm responding to an email that really, it stopped me fast. It just knocked me knocked me back in my chair. I was sitting in my car when I read it, and I got choked up. I got tears from an email, good tears, because words are powerful and they can give life or they can give death. We have so many proverbs in scripture that talk about the power of words. And this email brought life. It did. It caught me by surprise. I wasn't expecting it because this wasn't a personal email to me, just written for me. It was written for a number of people from someone who is an administrator at my seminary that I got my master's from. And I opened it up expecting to read a bunch of logistical information about a conference and a ceremony and details on, you know, dates and times and where to get your order, your regalia, and all of that stuff. So I did not expect an email like that to really punch me in a good way. How do you say that? I don't even know. Like, it wasn't a punch in the gut. It was though. It felt really strong. And so I started thinking about it, and I'll share a little bit more about the email. But can you think to a time, maybe one of the earlier memories, where someone said something to you and it did that, where you felt this real intense encouragement or maybe affirmation that who you are is valuable and important and necessary, or a combo of both? Wouldn't that be great? Can you think of a time that you experienced that? Maybe the words helped you to feel just seen, or I know it's an overused word, but it's still a really great word, just safe, like, you know, safe to such an extent that it kind of left its mark, or as they say, it's a core memory. So just think for a few seconds, you know, did it happen in college? Go back a little further, high school, go back more. Try to think if you can find one from the very beginning. Can you think of one without a lot of effort? Okay, so I already did this before I recorded when I was thinking about it. And I could, but honestly, it took more time than I thought that it would. So I got to college and I found one really quickly, like instant. What came to mind was I had one of my best friends in college, and sometimes we were roommates, which was great, but she would let me go home with her sometimes on the weekends. I lived about an hour from my house, but I didn't always go home that much, but I didn't like being stuck in the dorms. Or sometimes she would go home, and we also lived together in an apartment, but she was so great. She let me go home with her, and her parents were amazing. They were so inviting and kind. They were fun and happy. And what amazed me is I would come in the door and it was just like someone so important and well missed walked into their house. So I would just get these big hugs. They'd give me these big kisses on the cheek. And that was just incredible. The mom was maybe 5 foot tall. And she'd throw her arms up. I can just picture her now and just announce my entrance like I was someone so special. And she just was so animated and so happy to see me. And they always had words of affirmation. And what also surprised me is we would come in and they wouldn't just say, oh, hey, hi, and a quick greeting and then leave. They would hang out and ask us about how school's going, ask us about people who have you had any hot dates, you know, what's going on in your world. And they were genuinely interested. I didn't understand it. It didn't make sense to me, but I loved it. But I will never forget. They always would say this to me. I'd come in the door and they'd say, oh, yes. And my friend's name was Alicia. You brought Carrie. Oh, the gorgeous, beautiful, smart, tall drink of water. Oh, we love you. I never have experienced anything like that. And so whenever they would see me, it just became the classic greeting. They'd say, oh, it's Carrie, our tall drink of water. I had never experienced anything like that in my life. Over and over again, I'd come over and that's what I would hear. And they probably had no idea how much it meant to me. I hadn't had hugs like that. I hadn't felt so special. And I think mostly the most impactful part of it was there was this genuine, sincere welcomey love. They were truly glad that I was there. So I got stuck on that moment for a while. It felt really good to picture it again. And I really kind of a sweet moment. But as I journeyed back, I wanted to go to earlier years. And I bumped into the opposite of what I was looking for, more of those comments or snippets or repeated phrases that were more de-encouraging. I know that's not a word, but I'm going to use it. And even, you know, just to juxtaposition this with my height, I am only 5'7", okay? I'm not that tall. My kids are all close to 6 foot or taller. So in my house, I'm the shrimp at 5'7". But growing up, I was called the giant. So I was taller than my mom and my sister and some of my friends, but it didn't feel endearing to me. Maybe it was, but it didn't feel that way. I don't know if people have gotten taller over the generations, but I definitely was taller than many of my girlfriends. But my height, I was self-conscious about it. I always was excited when I met a friend who was my height or taller. But that's not a big deal for me right now. But what I did is I would bump into those phrases, but just kept going. I was looking for those high-value, encouraging, affirming moments, but I didn't easily find them. I couldn't easily find the words. I did find a sixth grade teacher who really did that well for me. She also would send me out in the hall and definitely correct me on my behavior that was, well, you know, is valid. It was all valid. I talked a lot in class, had a hard time in sixth grade. But she also said things like, I'm extremely creative and funny. And she made me feel like maybe I'm not a complete mess. But I did bump into happy memories, you know, like those quick 60-second videos that we just can see, like that highlight reel of the good childhood times. So I started to wonder, maybe this is just me, but do the negative words seem to stick more than the positive? Or is it that we just don't have as many of those positive words, the kind that hit us in that special way where it truly matters and just attaches itself to us? Is that the thing? I don't know. I'm not going to deep dive that today, but I am curious about it. So I don't know if any of you know the answer to that. Anyway, it's interesting, but I think I do feel very confident that I can say this. Many times we hesitate ourselves from giving those high value, encouraging, affirming words to each other. We hesitate. We don't give them as much. And if people are hesitating from giving them, then most likely we aren't getting enough. And I suspect that we hesitate because we have to make ourselves vulnerable in order to do it. And I don't even have a number two or a number three reason. I just have one reason today, and that is that we have to make ourselves vulnerable to give these high-value words. We are putting ourselves in a precarious place when we say high-value words. So what's high-value? Okay, well, again, I didn't deep dive this. I'm just kind of shooting off the cuff here a bit today. But I say high-value is when you are saying something that is 100% sincere, you see it as accurate, you mean it, it's selfless, and it's delivered in a way that person can receive it. And that's it. Then the second part, you know, the being able to deliver it in a way that someone will receive it, it's going to require us to be so vulnerable because it's not just a passing compliment. It's not something we're just tacking on as an afterthought to a thing that we said. It's not just closing an email with a nice word. It's bigger than that. And it's more than that. And it's not a, hey, you're awesome. It's when you look at that person, you look right at them and you're like, hey, you know, you're really awesome. You are one of the most genuine and intelligent people that I know. And I hope that you know that. And it's intentional. And maybe you don't even pre-plan it or pre-word it, but it's just so authentic. This is easier to do with kids, I feel like. Have you noticed that? Like, we can get eye level with kids and we can go so wild about maybe the bravery of the 3-year-old who finally slept all night in her bed. Or we can tell everybody around us till they're annoyed, but we can tell them all about the cute but so geniusly funny comeback from a 5-year-old. Kids are those safe people for adults. Like, we can be ourselves. We can be vulnerable with kids. It's so much harder with adults. So chances are you're not getting enough. I'm not getting enough. People aren't getting enough of what we need. And it actually is a need that we really do need to have that encouragement, that connectedness, to have that affirmation in the high value form. So yesterday, I asked my son, he's 15, and I asked him, what is he really passionate about? So no surprise, he said gaming with friends. He's like, Mom, gaming, you know that. Okay, so I'm 53. So a side note though, I have raised kids in the last 3 decades. I started raising kids in the 90s and I'm still raising kids in 23. So the year that I'm recording this is 2023. I will tell you, honestly, the 2020 parenting is very different. It's very different. I don't know what happened, but it's different. Anyway, I asked him, what is it about gaming? What are the elements of this that make it so perfect for him? And he started listing a couple, like, it's this and this. And then I said, hey, wait, I want to know more about what you just said there. Tell me more about that. And he got animated and he started talking faster. And he's not a super, like most 15-year-old boys, it's not like he pours out his heart to me about things. But he started getting into his element, so he's talking more, but then he stopped and he looked at me very suspiciously, like, where are you going with this, Mom? Because I have a tendency to make things a learning moment more than I should. But like, no, honestly, I just want to see why you like it so much. I'm just listening. And so he started saying more and he got into it, and it was great. I wrote things down on a list while he was talking. I said, oh, I can so see why you like it so much. And I love this. You really value people being real. You mentioned that. I love that. And then that was it. I didn't overtalk it. I'm learning. My first kids would be like, Mom always overtalked everything. I'm learning. But that was it. I bit my tongue. I closed the subject and I just left him with feeling seen and affirmed. Hey, I'm not a perfect parent by any stretch of the imagination, but I'll say having these kinds of connections with my kids where we have these moments where they feel affirmed and encouraged at that deep level, and they know that I see them and I know them. Those times when I completely mess up, or we have that communication breakdown, or there's whatever's going on, where they feel like Mom isn't getting me, or I'm upset with her about this, and many times I've done something wrong, having these connections makes it so much easier to go back and talk it out and repair it, because yeah, we've just developed this connection. And our kids need it when they're little, when they're teens, when they're adults, and we need it too. But because it requires vulnerability, we don't give it out to adults, and adults don't give it out to us. It's so rare to have it, but we all really need it. And so then what happens is we're all walking around not getting enough of something that we need as much as we need food and water. So sometimes we resort to, okay, well, self-affirmations. Just keep encouraging and affirming yourself. And part of the self-help, and I'm using quotes, air quotes here, but part of the self-help industry really pushes this, that it works. And I might be in the minority, but I don't think that it does work that well. Let me rephrase that. It can work. It does work for what it can do, but it's a whole different thing than what I'm talking about, this high value, the high value kind of encouraging, affirming, building up. That can't happen in exclusion of other people. The hard fact is we need others. And this requires others. We can tell ourselves the truth. We can affirm it. We can read things, and that's all good. It's just different than what I'm talking about. We can have a journal where we're recording so we can look back, overcome our self-doubt and things by saying, oh no, I did do this. This worked well. Keep in the forefront our identity in Christ. All of these things are good things, but they are not what I'm talking about. I'm going to say something controversial here right now. As a Christian, we can get high value affirmation and encouragement from God, but even God alone here in this is not enough. That's right. God isn't enough. We need each other. God is enough for some things, but God is enough for everything. He didn't create us on separate little planets to live by ourselves. We need each other. We need surprising emails that encourage us at that soul level. We need the texts that just come out of the blue. We need eye contact and a specific kind of connection that lets you know that someone sees you and they appreciate you and they see something in you that actually really is there and they're bringing it some attention. And I'm saying maybe we could do this a little bit more. And it requires that vulnerability. It puts us in that place where someone might think that's weird or they might feel uncomfortable. And that's part of the part that I said, we have to say it in a way where they can receive it. But even if we do say it in a way that someone can receive it, they might not receive it. Well, maybe they can't receive it at that moment, but maybe they can receive it 2 months from now. And I know that that's happened to me. I'm pretty sure it's happened to other people too. But nevertheless, it's those fears that stop us from taking that chance. It's those fears that say, don't take a risk because you might look stupid or you might say something wrong or you might not do it perfectly. And it's weird. It's weird. Adults don't do that stuff, depending how you're raised too. Now, my family versus my roommate's family, night and day difference. Like that was part of who they were and what they did. But I still say, I don't think that enough of us do it. And when we do it, here's the cool thing. It's going to bless both parties. It's not going to come back void because what you're saying is truth and it doesn't come back void. So even if you're saying it to the other person, maybe no one ever affirms you. I mean, I hope that doesn't happen. That's one of the things I love about being a coach in my coaching relationships is that's part of that partnership. And that's part of what happens in coaching, but it's going to come back to you and bless you. You're going to feel different. You're going to have a different perspective on your day and what you're doing and what you're about and who you are because you're giving. You're giving this, you're letting yourself be vulnerable and affirming people in this high value way. I don't think your words are going to manifest anything in their life or in your own life. You know, the manifestation belief system is not what I'm talking about. It's the hard truth that words do matter. Words do bring life and words can bring death. Words can inspire and words can, I'll use my made up word again, de-encourage. And it's because of that piece of authenticity and putting that together with connection and putting that together with giving that it can make such a big difference. So, all right, so I have to go back to this email. I told you this was all brought about by an email that I opened up while I was sitting in the parking lot after sending a fax through a UPS store to get my daughter out of jury duty. And I opened up my email. It was long. I'm scrolling through links and dates and information. At the end, just when you feel like it's time for her to close the email, there's this part that I could not believe she took the time to write. It's not even written just to me, but it felt like it was written just to me. It's written to every single person on the copy of this email. And it started out by saying, now, let me just take a moment to encourage you and remind you of something. You are an awesome child of God. He has a purpose for you. Don't ever doubt that. And that was in bold. And then it keeps going on and on, paragraph after paragraph. Every single word that she wrote was like an encouraging blanket of truth just wrapped around me in that moment. Just beautiful. It's beautiful. So what did it take for this vice president for internal affairs of this college and seminary? What did it take for her to write this? Well, it's a long, it's beautiful. It's eloquently said, but also so warm and personable. And it's paragraph, 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 four additional paragraphs that have nothing to do with the information that we needed, purely written to encourage. We don't use this word much, but edify and embolden the readers to know that they matter and that they have purpose and that they have value. And I just cried when I read it. I didn't know how much I needed to hear that until I read it. And it took her some time to write it, but it also took vulnerability. Because let's face it, I don't know how many people are getting this email, but a lot. And some of them are going to skim past it. Some are going to read it and think, that's just a lot of words. Some are going to read and be like, I don't even know if that fits, and make some judgment. Like, that doesn't really fit with the purpose of this email. It's kind of out of place. That's the vulnerability. We don't know. So I guess I just want to say, I'm going to do more of it. I'm going to be, of course, intentional about it. I'm going to be thoughtful about it. I'm not going to be throwing things everywhere I go to everyone, because I want it to be sincere and genuine, and I want it to be real. But I want to let down my guard. I want to be more vulnerable. And I'm wondering if you do too. If you want to give more of this kind of high value encouragement and affirmation and support and connection to others. So let me know. And if you want to read the entirety of it, get on my mailing list, because I'm going to be sending this out and letting other people hear these words too. All right. Thanks, guys. See you in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening. The best way that you can support this podcast is by hitting subscribe or like wherever you're listening to your podcast. Leave a rating and a review, and also send these out to your friends. You'll find links to all of the resources mentioned today in the show notes. Visit carriegoodman.com. On my website, I offer free resources as well as opportunities for group coaching, workshops, and soon to be courses. So check that out. Remember, it's for freedom that Christ set you free. Be yourself. Enjoy today. This world needs you. Till next time.